Good morning and good coffee, everybody. Hey, it's time for some morning coffee with Larry, and I'm glad that you are here joining with me today on a, holy cow, what is today? It's a Wednesday. Well, it's still early in the morning, so I'm going to claim that for not knowing what day it is. Very hot coffee, fresh out of the coffee maker, and it tastes good. I'm trying a new kind of coffee. What kind is it? Let me, it's from my favorite coffee place, Rural King, because I don't have to drink high-priced foo-foo coffee. This is from, what is it? Founding Fathers Coffee, America's Blend, Medium Roast. And it says 50% of profits support military families. So it's good. It's a nice dark, but it's not too bitter. Because sometimes you can wind up with that. You get too bitter of a dark roast. And while today I did add some milk to it, it's a good blend. So if you're a coffee drinker and if you don't have to have the high-priced foo-foo stuff and have a Rural King in your area, you may want to check this out, especially if they're sharing profits with different veterans groups. That's a good thing to do as well. But anyway, the sun is coming up, and it is, what time is it? It is 6:04, and I can look out the back window, and I see our temperature is, we got a new thermometer. It looks to be around 35 degrees, and the lodge is nicely lit up from the early morning sun. And there is one of our farm cats sitting there who thinks that she needs to either be inside the house or inside the lodge because both are heated. And I think she must have seen me because she gave me a look, jumped down. She's walked over by the sliding door. That would be Thelma. She is one of our two old farm cats. We have Thelma and Louise. They're both wonderful cats. They look almost identical. They were, you know, litter mates. And the only difference really is Thelma has a white mask and so does Louise, but Louise has a little bit of her orange color on her nose, kind of like a smudge. But they're just wonderful cats. They love hunting. We'll see them, you know, out in the tall grass. And next thing you know, they're coming out with a little mouse in their mouth. And so they're doing their duty around the farm. You know, kind of going back to the coffee thing, you've heard me talk in the past about the five love languages. I'm blanking out on the actual author, creator of those, but I had come across an interesting little meme on that, and it was some examples of how the five love languages might, you know, be in your life, especially if you like, you know, hot, bittery kinds of beverages. And so the five love languages, the first one is affirmation, and the example they give is, your coffee is delicious. Yes, that's a good word, affirming word, giving them encouragement. You know, if they are in the love language of acts of service, you could say, "I made you a coffee." So, you know, there you're serving them. For receiving gifts, it would be, "Here's your coffee." For quality time together, you might want to say, "Let's go get a coffee." And and the last one, which is physical touch. Let me hold you like a coffee. If my wife was awake, she'd probably be just rolling her eyes at me. But, you know, that way she is able to work up her, you know, eye muscle strength. So also saw another one that for those of you of my generation, in the 1980s, there was the movie Red Dawn. Had Patrick Swayze in it. It had a young Charlie Sheen. Jennifer Grey was in it. A lot of good kid actors that were, making their way up in the Hollywood scene. And it has a picture of all that cast, from the movie, and they're all with their weapons that they used in the movie. And it says, it's titled, "Every Gen X Kid Watching the News Right Now." And there was always the Cold War fear back in the 80s. And we had a good president who was standing up to him. And this was the whole play was in that movie was that Russian, there was a Russian, Cuban, Nicaraguan invasion up through Mexico, and that split the country in two. And these were, freedom fighters in that, movie. And you watch the news and what's happening over in Ukraine, and you see the same kind of thing. There was another meme, and, if you've listened to me for quite a bit, I enjoy hunting, I enjoy shooting sports. And one of the questions that's often tossed out, by those who are not very comfortable or not comfortable at all around guns is, why would you need to have an AR in a 30-round magazine? And the meme said, turn on the news the past 36 hours and you'll see the reason. Because as that was happening over there, it was citizens that were stepping up and putting up resistance. And I don't know how things will turn out over there, whether they will de-escalate, whether they will continue to escalate. But they're a citizenry that isn't just cowering in a closet. They're out there. And so that was kind of an interesting one for me that floated across my Facebook feed that made me kind of take notice a little bit. But one of the things I wanted to talk about today, and it ties in a little bit with, what I had in my last podcast and what I've talked about at different times, is kind of summed up in this meme. And I just wanted to just kind of chew around on it with you. Let me reach over and get my coffee. I had to set it somewhere else so I could use both my hands on my phone. And what it says, when you can't control what's happening, control the way you respond to what's happening, for that is where your power is. There's stuff that we have in our control. We actually do. But there is way more stuff that is outside of our control. We don't have authority over it. You may like or you may not like your neighbor based on actions that they do. But really, you don't have any control over them. You are not, you're not the boss of me. Yeah, you're not. And so, how do you handle that? Some people get frustrated. Some people get confused. Some people get angry. Some people get, just spin the roulette wheel of emotions, and they can have all of those. But how many times when something is outside of our control, we get so bent out of shape that it hurts us way more. It impacts us way more in a negative way than it ever should have. Yeah. I mean, think about yourself. Think about, close family members or loved ones or friends where that has been the case. when you can't control something, that's okay. It doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. It may be, but maybe not necessarily. But when you can't control what's happening, you can control something of yourself. You can control the way you respond to it, the way you react to it. You know, sometimes one of the things that I have seen in human behavior over the years and have addressed with different people is what I term, you know, I guess what would be commonly called a knee-jerk reaction. You know, if you're in the doctor's office, you're getting a physical, they have you cross your legs, they take the little mallet to your leg and it makes the leg bounce. You know, that's a reflex. And it's a knee-jerk. And there's so many things that can happen to us or that we see, and we have that kind of a knee-jerk reaction. We're not thinking about it. It's like a programmed response. We just automatically do it. Other times we may call that a trigger. We see something, we hear something, we know about something, and boom, we just go into an automatic response. What happens when the automatic response does not really apply? Doesn't apply. It's one of those things where it's like afterwards you go, oh, why did I do that? Why did I say that? You know, it's amazing how easily your own children know what buttons to push, phrases to say, and you react in that knee-jerk reaction, and then you don't like it. You don't like what happened afterwards. And the problem was not as much what they said, but was your own reaction to it. Do you maintain control over your reactions, or do you just let it have free rein like a trigger, like a knee jerk? Because that's not cool. It winds up often hurting different people. You know, on Facebook, you see something that comes across your newsfeed, which really isn't your newsfeed. You're liking somebody, you agree to follow them. It's something from their page that they posted. And if you're like me, you've got a lot of, quote, Facebook friends. Some may be acquaintances from years ago or friends from years ago, and you've lost track and you found them again. And you've grown in different directions because you've each have had different life experiences. And so they post something on their page. Facebook sends it over to you because you're friends. And you see that and you don't like it. You're going to save that person. Raise your hand if you've ever done that. That's me. I've done that. I'm learning. But you may put a comment or a response or a challenge to it that the other person, you know, may not be a welcomed thing. You see, it used to be if you wanted to send a message to somebody, you either picked up the telephone, or before that, if you wanted to send the message, you either had to go see them face to face or you would write a letter. And then you had to fold the letter and put it in an envelope and decide that you were going to, you know, finance it with a stamp. And then you would put it in your mailbox on your house maybe and wait for the mailman the next day to pick it up and put it into the mail system. There was a time factor involved. But nowadays, you get that immediate reaction, emotional reaction, and you just quickly respond and hit the return key on the keyboard or press send on your phone, and boom, it's there. And then how you responded may or may not be very helpful, very effective, because it was one of these knee-jerk reactions. When you can't control what's happening, control the way you respond to what's happening. You see, if we slow down, if we change our default setting from immediately commenting on Facebook or immediately responding to somebody in some way, if we put a pause there, think about it a little bit. Make an active, thoughtful decision. Make an active, thoughtful decision of how we want to respond. Then we have a whole different ballgame, don't we? We may choose not to respond. We may choose to respond in a non-emotional way. We may choose to respond in a forward-thinking way, looking at different scenarios of how it may be. Now, this is more than just, you know, interactions with Facebook or conversations with people over coffee, as it applies to the five love languages. No, this can apply to what is happening in your community, what's happening in your neighborhood, what's happening in your city, state, country, world. You see, you can't change or influence things over which you have no control, not in a realistic way. Well, I can write my congressman or I can call them up. Well, that's great. But how many millions of people does each congressman represent in the United States? How many hundreds of thousands of people do they represent? I'll call my senator. Well, how many people are in your state? There's somewhere around 12 to 14 million in Illinois, and there's two senators. They don't care about you. They're not going to read your message. They're not going to read your letter. They're not going to, you know. So, on things you have no control over, you can control the way you respond to what's happening. Why? Or what would be the benefit? That's where your power is. Just because somebody else or just because everybody else is doing something, if you believe that is wrong, if you believe that is not the right decision, you don't have to do it. That's where your power lies. You know, there is an old historical picture, and it was from time period in, I think it was in the 1930s in Germany. And you had the fascist takeover of the government, and the nation just kind of went literally in lockstep with them. And there's this photo of everybody doing the Nazi salute, except one man who had his arms crossed in the photo. And maybe you've seen that. Maybe you've seen that historical photo. And there's a story that goes behind it. But you see, if you were in that crowd and everybody was doing that, would you automatically do that? Or would you realize, hey, I have the freedom, the power to control the way I respond to what's happening? You see, ultimately, if everything else in the world is completely out of control, your control, you still have control of your mind, don't you? You still have control of your thoughts. That's your ultimate freedom, because that leads to all other freedoms. So make sure that the way you respond to things, whether it's in action or in thoughts, because our thoughts, sometimes what we can do is we'll just tag something in our thoughts as that's good, that's bad, that's disgusting, that's mean, that's cruel, without really looking at the whole situation. We'll just do that knee-jerk response. I've said knee-jerk response several times, not in a good way, have I? I've described it in a bad way, because so often that's the case. Sometimes it's good, but so often the case is that it's not good. You see, when you control your thoughts, that's your superpower. That's where your power is. Having control of the way you respond. Thought, word, and deed. All right. Well, that is it for today. I hope this was a good one for you. And we will catch you next time for some morning coffee. Have a good one, everybody. Bye-bye.